You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio, your intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. My name is Fred Flights. I'm a senior vice president with the Center for Security Policy, sitting in for your usual host, Frank Gaffney. We have a special guest today who is going to speak on challenges of free speech in Europe and Austria. Her name is Elisabeth Sabadich-Wolf. She is an advisor to the board of a German human rights non-governmental organization. She has worked in diplomatic positions for the government of Austria. And last year, she was charged with denigration of religious beliefs for supposedly insulting Islam in the state of Austria. And if she's convicted, she'll have to pay a fine of 480 euros. And it looks like her conviction has been held up by a higher court, and she could possibly face time in jail. Elisabeth, thank you for being here today, and I'd like you to tell us about your story.
My story, yes. Well, I actually have to update you because I've already paid the 480 euros, unfortunately, very grudgingly I did. The case is currently pending at the European Court of Human Rights and has been pending for about 5 years now. And it looks, but this is my personal opinion, it looks like the court is holding back the decision, which has probably already been made, because of the situation in Europe. You know, it wouldn't look good if Austria were to lose the case and I were to win for freedom of speech.
Now, you call yourself an Austrian anti-jihad and anti-Sharia activist. Is that correct?
I'm a free speech activist. That goes without saying that I'm also opposed to Sharia, because Sharia infringes on our very rights to freedom of speech and all the other freedoms that are associated with freedom of speech.
What have you said that would require the Austrian government to take legal action against you?
I hold the conviction that Muhammad isn't the perfect human being that Muslims believe he is. And I didn't like the way he, how shall I phrase it? I'm sitting in Austria, so I don't want to get in trouble again. You know, that he married a six-year-old girl and consummated the marriage at the age of nine. And the court said that this is I'm denigrating the religious beliefs of so many Muslims, and this is unacceptable, and I can't call a spade a spade. Let's leave it at that, since I'm currently on Austrian territory.
You know, I've been to Austria many times, and it's really sad to hear you say that you're afraid to speak freely in a free country like Austria on an issue like this. And what you're saying is not that controversial. There are many historians who have said the same thing. I mean, this, to call this hate speech, this is something else. This is a form of censorship that we're seeing at the OSCE and in the United Nations. Is that your take on this?
Absolutely, especially at the OSCE, where I, along with many other colleagues, and I must add, very brave colleagues, are in an open battle we're fighting for freedom of speech, we're fighting for freedom of conscience, for freedom of association, basically for the Bill of Rights. That's what we're fighting for. And having just returned from the latest forum in Warsaw, I can tell you that the situation has deteriorated even further, and it is only due to the OSCE's own commitments that we are still allowed to participate in this forum. We were told quite clearly and openly that the OSCE would like to do nothing more than to kick us out and basically take away our right to speak.
Well, my Center for Security Policy colleagues were with you in Warsaw, and that is exactly their reaction. But it's interesting that there actually are rules within the OSCE, although the OSCE leaders may not want to admit it, that are dedicated to protecting free speech and the democratic system. So it's just amazing what you just said, what my colleague said, that this is an organization that does not want to defend these values.
You see, the values have changed, okay? What we call freedom of speech, or what the OSCE commitments call freedom of speech, is no longer what freedom of speech was once seen as. You have to understand, when the OSCE was founded back at the height of the Cold War in 1975, which, you know, the CSCE emerged from the Helsinki Accords, where for the first time the Soviets sat down to talk about these issues, about freedom of religion and freedom of speech. I mean, before that, it was unheard of, unthinkable, that the Soviets would even discuss these matters. So you have a completely different take on what freedom of speech is today. It's always freedom of speech, but, and you know as well as I do, once you have a freedom of speech, but, there is no true freedom of speech anymore, because you have a caveat, and there's freedom of speech, but you can't say this. Freedom of speech, but, you know, the law says something different. But you have to be tolerant. But you have to be non-discriminatory. Freedom of speech, but, is not freedom of speech. It's for the freedom of speech to listen to former President Obama's different speeches and Sunday talks. I don't need freedom of speech for that. I need freedom of speech for the controversial speech, for the speech that makes you think, for the speech that you may not like. Freedom of speech means freedom of speech, period. Okay? And if I may quote Mark Stein, who said, hate speech is free speech. That's what it's for.
Of course, that's right. And it's interesting that the OSCE is an organization that the West used to counter a totalitarian threat, Soviet communism, the threat from the Soviet Union during the Cold War. But now it seems like it is yielding to another totalitarian threat, Sharia and the global jihad movement. And to silence voices of freedom and democracy in this world. Let me turn to another question. Could you talk briefly about, in Austria, what is going on concerning Sharia and other efforts to basically make concessions to Islamists who would like to impose a different form of government and way of life on the Austrian people?
Well, if you're asking me if Sharia is already present in Austrian society, I can tell you, yes, absolutely, it's here. I can tell you that the Islamization is moving forward. I can give you a very concrete example. I live in a very affluent area without being affluent myself. And not only do we have about 1,000 so-called refugees, asylum seekers, housed in one of the former hospitals, basically around the corner from where I live, but we have two Turkish supermarkets that have been opened and established only in the last couple of months. And I'm wondering why, in an area where there were no Sharia-compliant men and women present, do we all of a sudden need a Sharia-compliant halal supermarket? Two of them, as a matter of fact.
Well, Elizabeth Savinich-Wolf, we have to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for offering us your analysis today, and good luck with your heroic efforts to defend free speech in Europe and in Austria. Next up, Claudia Rosette will discuss President Trump's speech to the UN General Assembly and the threat from North Korea. Stay tuned.